Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Forgiveness. You might be thinking, this is an odd topic to be discussing during what you are experiencing right now. Forgiveness. You might be thinking, this is a topic that might be good for the person down the block, down the street, but maybe not necessarily for you. As I begin my message this morning, I want to share with you this simple truth. Forgiveness. You need it. For the last 6 months, I have actually been running more than I have for many, many years, probably 10 or 15 years. And things have been going actually pretty well. I have increased my speed. I have increased the variation of how I run, the incline and the decline. And I have also increased the amount of time that I run. And I'm feeling really good about myself up until about a week ago. I've woken up some mornings and thought to myself, maybe this summer I can do that marathon that I've never accomplished. And I've thought to myself, boy, this is going so well, it's just natural to get up and run in the morning. But yes, it was about a week ago that the good feelings that I had about how I was running were absolutely crushed. You see, I was in the gym, and an expert decided to get onto the treadmill right next to me. And I knew he was an expert because the way that he stretched. He was short in stature, didn't weigh too many pounds, but you could tell he was dedicated and he was focused. And when he got onto the treadmill, it was as if he was one with that machine. All of a sudden, my 7 mile per hour pace paled in comparison with his 9.3 mile an hour pace. All of a sudden, the 35 minutes that I put on paled in comparison to the 60 minutes that he put on. And then I realized after the time I was done, I was completely drenched in sweat. Well, there he was. He looked like he could run another 60 minutes. See, in that moment, I was crushed because I was put in my place. I was next to an expert. I'm doing okay, but I'm not as good as what I had estimated. Friends, forgiveness works in a similar way. And you may be thinking here very highly about yourself and the decisions you've made and what you've accomplished and your moral choices throughout all of life. And that's fine. Or you may be thinking as well that forgiveness is really something that you don't need, but it's the person down the block or on the other side of the community that really needs to hear this message. You know the person, that man that went through the messy divorce and everyone's talking about it, or that woman that had that horrific car accident and hurt someone. Those are the people that really need to hear about forgiveness. You see, we compare ourselves to others so that we make ourselves look good, or we think that we don't need forgiveness. Stop comparing. Or actually, here's a better way to do it. Compare yourself to the expert right next to you, Jesus. Consider his perfection. Consider his words. Consider his way of life. And when we do that and we see how we have truly missed the mark and we haven't lived the way that we should, we realize that we're not as good as what we thought. And you see, we come to the realization, yes, we need forgiveness. You need forgiveness. Jesus loves to talk about forgiveness. And this passage that we're focusing on in the Red Letter Challenge that was read for our worship service this morning speaks about forgiveness in this little story that was shared. Here were the details, just to catch you up. There was a king who was calling all the debt that was owed to him by, let's say, the governors that were under him. High-ranking workers is what the Greek word really suggests. And one of those workers under the king owed him somewhere in the amount that would be equivalent to $1 trillion in today's money. When that was asked of this person to pay, of course, there was no way that he could ever pay it off, and so he did the one thing that he thought would perhaps work. He got down on his knees and he begged the king, "Sir, have pity on me. Give me some patience. Give me some time." And our text from Matthew that was read says that the king did three things. I'm going to point them out to you here so you can see them visually. The king had pity. The king then canceled the debt. And then the king released him. We're going to come back to these and explain them in a little more detail. But you see, those are the gifts of Jesus' forgiveness for you this morning. Jesus has pity on you. In other words, he has a heart for you. He understands your place and your situation. And you might be wondering, how is that possible? My sins put him up on the cross. It was because of my fault and the plans that I chose and the decisions I made. That's why he died on the cross. But you see, Jesus, he doesn't hold it against us. He has a heart for us. He has compassion. He doesn't label us. He doesn't look at us as a mere object or a transaction that he must move to the side or accomplish or something like that. No, his forgiveness is about, it starts with pity, which also can be translated as compassion for you. But his forgiveness goes deeper than just pity. It's taken to another level. In the text, it says the king does a second thing. The king cancels the debt of the worker. Now, it's not just that he cancels the debt. It's actually this. He pays the debt. You know, there have been some occasions where I have been invited over to people's homes and I have broken some things that are in their homes. And by me saying that, you might be thinking maybe I shouldn't invite over Pastor Lucky to my house. Here are some things that I've broken in other people's homes. I've broken someone's mug, dropped it on the floor, and the handle came off. That was one occasion. On another occasion, I dropped someone's Christmas ornament, a ball, and went down to the floor, and it shattered completely. On another occasion, I spilled some fruit punch on someone's beige couch. Now, I remember that spot. There was no denying it. You couldn't hide it. And it was extremely embarrassing when that incident occurred. What made me feel okay about spilling that fruit punch on the beige couch was that the owner, the host of the party, came up to me and said, "Jeremy, it's okay. We'll take care of it." But I have to tell you what made me even feel even better than that. It was the fact that a couple days later, they never sent the bill for cleaning that beige couch. See, behind the scenes, the owner of that beige couch took care of it and paid my stain that I did in her house. You see, this is what Jesus has done for us. We have, in a sense, stained him. We have sinned. And Jesus doesn't say, "Hey, you got to clean it up and go to work and you got to take care of your indiscretions and you got to take care of those problems that you've created." No, what Jesus did was this. He quietly, behind the scenes, died on the cross. And everyone down below went on with their life, thinking about what they'd do Friday night on Good Friday and what they were going to do over the weekend. Jesus quietly, behind the scenes, not just canceled your debt. He paid it with his debt, with his death. Now, I must say that Jesus' forgiveness goes even deeper, though, than canceling your debt and paying it for you. It says in our passage here that the king finally releases this governor or worker that was underneath him. You know, when someone wrongs you, I don't know about you, but my response oftentimes is not genuine forgiveness. Sometimes what has happened in our household, if something happens between my wife and I, my wife might say something like this, or I might say something like this. I won't say one or the other, but we might say something like this: "Honey, I forgive you, but you see, next week you've got to do a few more chores." That's not really forgiveness. That's holding it over someone. Or you might have disappointment over what a friend has done for you and how they haven't followed through with something. And you might respond this way: "Well, I forgive you, but it's going to take a while for you to earn my trust back." That's not forgiveness. That's holding it over someone. See, the forgiveness Jesus offers you is about releasing you so you can be free. He doesn't hold it over you. As Jesus gathered his disciples for one last discussion before leaving, in Matthew chapter 28, we call it the Great Commission, but it really could be called the Great Release. In front of them were a bunch of people that had really done some harmful things to Jesus. Imagine who those people were. James and John, they had selfish, ambitious plans to have great positions in Jesus' kingdom to come. Then there was Peter. He had denied Jesus three times, even though he said that he wouldn't. And finally, there was Thomas the doubter. What a great opportunity for Jesus to hold it over them and say something like this: well, you're going to have to improve with these steps, and then you can get back into my good grace. Or something like this: hey, I've got some things that for you to do, and once you finish them, then you're back in. You know what Jesus did? All authority had been given to him, and he ultimately gave it to his disciples. He released them to go out and live in his kingdom, and he never held it over them. Friends, Jesus, this is the forgiveness Jesus offers you this morning. As he forgives your sins, you are released. You are free. Breathe in Jesus' forgiveness. Do you feel it this morning? Are you breathing it in? Take a deep breath. Join me. And release. You know, one of the startling things in my life happened when I got onto an airplane and heard the stewardess give instructions for what would happen in the case of an emergency. And maybe you know how that goes. As she gave the instructions, she gave the usual address. In case of an emergency, the oxygen masks above you will deploy. And this is what startled me. It startled me before I had children. She said this: before you place the mask on the child, please place the mask on you first, and then place it on the children that are with you. Now, when I first heard that, before I had children, I thought to myself, how selfish. These are children. We should take care of them. We should give them the oxygen first, and then I should think about myself. But then I had kids and realized the wisdom behind why that rule is in place. It's in place because, first, I have to breathe in the oxygen. And then once I'm okay, then I'm okay enough to give the oxygen to a child or youth. If I were to give the oxygen to a child or youth, my kids, for example, there's a chance that both of us won't get any oxygen. But if I take care of myself and breathe in first, there's a good chance that both of us will breathe in that wonderful oxygen in the case of an emergency. Dear friends, forgiveness works in a similar way. You know, breathing by ourselves really doesn't work all that well, because what we breathe in is sin. Maybe you're breathing in the news that you're hearing on the TV or on the radio. Maybe you're breathing in the news of this pandemic that is coming upon us, and it's bringing you great fear. See, when we breathe on our own, we're in trouble. But you know what God does? He breaks through and gives us the mask of Jesus' forgiveness. And when we put it on and we breathe it in, when we breathe that forgiveness, you see, we know that God cares, we know that God loves, and we know that God is bigger than any of the problems that we face today or in a week or in a month. So take that mask of Jesus' forgiveness and put it on, and see that he has had pity on you. And when you breathe that in, guess what, my friends? You will have pity for that person that harmed you. Take that mask of Jesus' forgiveness, and when you realize that Jesus has canceled your debt and paid it for you, you can then cancel the debt of another person and pay it for them. When that mask of Jesus' forgiveness comes down, and you also realize that he releases you and doesn't hold a grudge over you, release someone else and give them forgiveness. Now, as I mentioned in the welcome, we're in unprecedented times. In this regard, specifically for our time thinking about forgiveness, we have an opportunity to talk a little bit more with our loved ones and those that we live with. And I'd like to transition to a couple of questions for you to think about in your home. And after the prayers today, after the songs, and after my message, I'd like for you to just take 5 minutes at home and really consider these two questions. There are no right or wrong answers, but do take this time. You might even want to call someone. If you're living all by yourself, call a friend and just share this question with them and have a discussion over these questions. The first one is this. How is forgiveness different from excusing what people have done? What's the difference? And secondly, has anybody ever wronged you more than you have wronged God? Now think about those questions and have some discussion. I wish you God's peace, and I pray that you breathe deeply this beautiful gift of Jesus' forgiveness, because this is where health comes. Amen.